One.
How are you?
Studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
Okay, we are back on, and thanks once again to Skype. Hopefully things will be working pretty good, and Cliff should be on the other end right there.
Here I are, ready or not.
I tell you, folks, if you have experimented with a different alternative to Skype, please send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com, because this is just, it gets to be totally ridiculous that we go and everything works fine up until showtime, then everything just goes to hell. But anyways, welcome to the program. It's Monday afternoon, the 13th of February, 2012.
We're getting so old so fast.
We are. Plus, the fact we're threatening to have winter come back on again. I'm not too happy with that.
We're getting old, and it's threatening to rain.
Rain all day. I'm sorry. I have to play in this stuff, so I'm getting.
Well, that's true. Want snow? I wouldn't mind snow, but you would. That would bother you.
And I'm going to try to, like, say, recover here, because usually got audio levels and everything else set up before we do this. But today's been. Now my cousin Murphy's been getting a lot of points today. Had won the computers. It always happens. Usually within the last half hour before the program, either computers start crashing or things just start going wrong. But anyway.
You know, it's amazing. We can sit here and talk for 2 hours before we go online on the air. But that's why I don't think it has to be Skype. I think it has to be Blog Talk that's interfaced and making a mess out of things. Because until we hook up with Blog Talk, we're great.
Exactly.
We just figure out how to come up with another Blog Talk, another option for a Blog Talk. I don't know what that would be, but there's got to be something.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is. Of course, when you're poor too, it doesn't help. You know, you can't exactly go out and purchase new equipment or you know, use better services or whatever. So
we spend tons of money on this, just tons and tons of money. What, 25 cents a day or something?
I haven't broken it down that much, but Unless you are actually a Blog Talk radio host, this is not free, folks, what we're doing. It's cost me $40 a month just to do the program that we're doing. And, I can do a brand rave on that, and I won't.
That's just part of it, true. Anyway, there's lots of things going on in the world today that we need to talk about that we can talk about anyway. I've got one that's going to just rile Robin. I know I haven't mentioned much of it, but this business of the not internet, but AT&T and all of the phone companies, you know, they give you this limits of what you buy, and if you buy unlimited usage of any of these companies, the only one company so far at this particular time that actually gives you unlimited usage is Sprint. The rest of them all limit what you're doing, and AT&T being about the worst. We can get into that a little bit. I don't know if you've got anything you want to do first.
Yeah. Well, first thing let's do is let's invite people to call.
That's a thought.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
You want to share?
I rewrote my thing and then threw it away.
Well, for those people that would like to join the program, which would be really nice, give us a call, 646-721-9887. That's 646-721-9887. Write that number down, or as Cliff says, put it on your refrigerator in black Sharpie, but don't blame us for the black Sharpie. Please use erasable. And
46 what?
646. You got that?
Got that.
Okay, 721.
721.
Nine.
Okay.
9887.
9887.
Okay, read it. Okay. Make sure you got it right.
I wrote that on a sticky thing. 646-721-9887. I didn't write it real big, so as long as I can see it, I'll just stick it on my computer. Whoops, I can't see that. Light's glaring on it. You got to not only stick it where you can see it, but you got to be able to. Okay, there we go. 646-721-9887. Wow. Now.
That's right.
Now it should stay there forever.
Yeah, until the next time. And you can join us in the chat room, too, right now and on Blog Talk Radio. And if you are listening to us on the archives, you can still participate by sending us an email. We love emails. Thank you very much. At talk@krbnradio.com. And like Cliff says, we got a lot to talk about, but I want to get some business out of the way first. And that is our this show is easily sponsored, actually cheaply sponsored, but we won't get into that. By Dancing Dog Cookies. They're cookies for your dog. They're a healthy little snack, and they're put together by a couple in Eugene, Oregon. They're available locally in Lane County or online at dancingdogcookies.com.
Good dog, Skippy. Yes, Skippy is a very good dog, and I always enjoy working with him and like to reward him for a great performance. However, I am always hesitant and very selective in the types of treats that I will give him because I worry about his health and only want to give him something that's really good for him. That's why I always reward him with Dancing Dog Cookies, because they are handmade to order from all natural ingredients and preservative-free. Plus, they come in a wide variety of styles and flavors. Skippy loves them, and I'm sure you will too, so check them out at www.dancingdogcookies.com.
Yeah, check them out, and your dog will love them, and Cliff can contest to that, too, because he keeps eating the samples.
You know, I'm listening to the audio back, and I'm wondering, because this is not your normal problem that we have, I'm wondering if this, because we've got a real problem with sunspots and things going on right now, and it sounds to me like that's something that could be confusing our signal between here and where Blog Talk is. I don't know.
It's possible when you're dealing with communications.
It's a sound that I'm hearing even on television. I was watching television the last few days, and I noticed that it's doing things like that as well. So I'm just wondering if it isn't something this is an unusually bad time for, they have a name for them, sunspots. I'm pretty illiterate when it comes to that sort of thing. So basically this. Whatever it is. So you never know. It could be having something to do with it.
So what you're saying is basically it's not just Skype, it's God that is messing with our programs.
God, yes. The sun, Ra. What is it, God, Ra, or something like R-E-H? I don't know.
I don't know. That's why I missed that day.
Yeah, me too.
But anyway... you got to have fun too, folks. So, but yeah, we got a lot to talk about. There's a couple things that, like Cliff was saying, as far as cell phones and the unlimited service, and I got a few things on my my plate as well. But one of them, a little quick summary, is one of them is Obama's mortgage stimulus package that's being screwed up by the states again. I got some weird laws. In fact, I'm going to get into a "What the Heck Are They Thinking?" segment, and then we'll get into Cliff's AT&T. Assuming that's going to work right too. Who knows? That's the beauty of live radio. What can go wrong will go wrong, and all it does is how you recoup from it. Either way, you just laugh.
You've got to be kidding me. What the heck were they thinking? Can you actually believe they did that?
It's Robin's What the Heck Are They Thinking Award, where Robin picks out some of the dumbest and most ridiculous headlines of the week. And now, with this week's picks, here's Robin.
All right. It's going to be a fun show, folks. Cliff, what are you doing? Okay.
I'm just thinking what that sounded like. That's really weird the way it screwed up. I mean, it changes speed, it elongates, it doubles itself and echoes, and just every possible thing you can do, it does it here and there, and all in that one little 20-second thing.
Yeah.
Crazy.
And that's audio that's stored on the Blog Talk Radio sites, too, so it's not something we're uploading. So Blog Talk Radio, which, by the way, any Blog Talk Radio host out there, you need to write Blog Talk Radio and complain about this. But so far, there's only been half a dozen of us that have been doing that, giving them any reason to work on fixing the problem. But anyways, Cliff, you know what a Frisbee is.
I know what a Frisbee is. Frisbees are fun.
Frisbees are fun. Did you know Frisbees can be a weapon?
Well, I don't know specifically about Frisbees, but I know about all kinds of throwing stars and things like that are like Frisbees and are radical weapons, yes.
Yeah. Well, did you know that throwing a Frisbee on a California beach can cost you $100?
Oh, really? Is that a matter of fact? No, I didn't know about that. I suppose maybe I don't know if you could make Frisbees out of foam rubber, could you?
Well, they have the Nerf. But no, the state of California recently passed a law that says that if you're throwing a football, Frisbee, and also a small list of other beach-type implements, can cost you a $100 fine. Even digging a hole, having your kids dig a hole in the sand that's larger than 18 inches can get you in trouble with the county.
Well, you know, that's getting back to our business of getting carried away with laws, because all of a sudden we're protecting us against ourselves. We're protecting, you know, if you haven't got enough smarts to pay attention to the ground enough that you wouldn't step into a hole and you know, hurt your leg or something like that, especially on the beach where, of course, holes could be easily dug. You know, dogs could dig them, people dig them. I understand throwing footballs and Frisbees and things like that because, you know, you don't know that's coming and you can't get out of its way. So I can understand restricting that somewhat, but we're just getting carried away with making laws and rules and regulations. We've got to stop that. We've got to, you know, accept the fact that people have got to look out for themselves somewhere along the line.
Yeah. I mean, it takes away half the fun of the beach. I mean, I can see that maybe putting a limit on how big of a hole you're going to put in there. Oh, you're, next thing you know, your dog disappears. But,
you know, the dog won't disappear. He knows. He pays attention. It's you that's going to disappear, not the dog.
Yeah. What happened?
But getting hit by a Frisbee, that's another story. I do think that, you know, there should be some areas set aside where you can Frisbee and where you can't. You know, don't just prohibit it. Just set areas aside where you can do that thing. Because, you know, then you know, what happened to beach volleyball all of a sudden? You can't play beach volleyball either, according to that. But I'm sure they do have areas where you can. That's a little more set aside.
Well, the thing is it comes back down to legislation responsibility and, you know, having Big Brother stepping in and going, well, you can't do this, you know.
We've got Big Brother stepping in everywhere. It's bad enough to have the cameras everywhere. I don't mind having cameras everywhere so Big Brother can watch you and you can go and they can go check on you and see what you did. But to limit everything that you want to do outdoors, that's insane. You know, you can't. And I run. You know, they're going to say that you can't throw Frisbees in your front yard too, because it could possibly get out of your front yard and hit somebody on the sidewalk. You never know. You know, and that you know, it's just getting carried away.
Well, I wonder if there's strict regulations on the official size of a Frisbee.
Well,
no more coffee can lids. Oh, wait a minute. There's no more coffee can lids.
Well, I wouldn't want to throw coffee can lids anyway. Well, plastic ones. I don't know. I'm against all
the whole thing,
little law.
Where does it stop? But anyways, that's item one out of the three. Item number two, and I don't know. This does and does not surprise me, I guess, as finances are getting tight for businesses, is that New Hampshire's GOP legislature has come up with a bill to try and increase efficiency. And under the proposed law, will require employers to give their workers time off I read that wrong. Basically, trying to do three things at once here. They're going to take away lunch break for workers and try to make that legal, is what they're trying to do in New Hampshire. Quick summary.
Lunch break?
In other words, a 30-minute lunch break, which is a law in most states, they're going to repeal that so that they can force workers to work through their lunch.
That's interesting because they spent a lot of time getting that put in place so that they have to give workers lunch. I've been an employer for a long time and I've done a lot of employing, and I usually ignore all of those laws, but I let my employees know that if they want me to enforce them or if they want to enforce them, they can. But if there's, you know, it's to say from 12 to 12:30, you've got to be given time off to go to lunch. That's silly. In this industry, the broadcast industry, and so many, you got to be more flexible than that. You know,
what about people with diabetes? I mean, you have to nibble throughout the day.
Yeah, you do, I guess. I do. I have diabetes. I don't necessarily nibble, but then I don't control it very well. Well, I do control it well, but I control it with insulin.
Yeah. And the third item, third out of three, is kind of like when Obama put out his first stimulus package, and I wish, like I say, if the computers had cooperated, I'd have a soundbite on it, where the whole idea of the stimulus was to, you know, create jobs. And he said that they were going to monitor the program so states would not spend the money frivolously. And, of course, what happened? States spent the money frivolously on funny, silly things like studying the migration of snails, or they can come to my place and follow the migration of the banana slugs, which seem to like to come inside here. But anyways, so Cliff knows the background on that one. One of the reasons why the stimulus package failed is because, like I said, it didn't go to where it was intended to go. Once it got into the hands of the states, it went for their own little projects. Well, recently the Obama administration, along with 49 states, joined the federal government in announcing a $26 billion settlement with five of the nation's biggest banks over foreclosure fraud and improper, people finding themselves underwater, and it's a way to help them, basically another government stimulus. However, Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker, who apparently is already under the process of being a recall effort put against him, has decided that this money is not going to be forwarded on to the citizens, as they are going to use 25 point, or as they are going to use part of that money that they are receiving from the federal government to help in their state's shortfall in their funds. I'm sounding like an amateur today, like I say, I'm just not prepared. I apologize. But now, basically, it's another one of those cases that, you know, the government says that we're going to be doing this to help the people, but the money never reaches the people.
Well, I, you know, in a way, I have to disagree with that because the state itself is the one who they're reaching to people, and if they can't pay their bills, then there's a major problem there. So ultimately, it's reaching to people. You know, the idea of any federal government or any government entity handing you X amount of dollars and saying this is where you have to spend it, that's silly, because all you're going to do is spend some money on what they tell you have to spend it, and then they're going to take money from somewhere else that was supposed to go for that and spend it somewhere else. It's so easy to maneuver money around and to put it wherever you know, spend it wherever on paper, make it look like it was going where it's supposed to go, but it doesn't necessarily have to. I mean, and to think that states are not going to do that. They've got their own priorities as to what is necessary and what is not necessary. And, you know, that's the name of the game. Like here, you know, a lot of people in the city of Cottage Grove got real upset when the city of Cottage Grove bought the golf course. And they thought, why is it a golf course? What is going on here? That's silly. It's not silly. There was a reason for that. The city used the golf course as they watered the golf course with water that's been processed from their waste treatment plant. Now, it has been processed. It's not going to hurt anybody or be a problem, but you can't use that land now to grow things on or to build on. It has to be left as a golf course. And so we have a really, really nice golf course, and the city owns it because the people who owned the golf course wanted to get rid of it, and we needed that land. So
okay. If I understand you correctly, you're saying that the water that they use for the golf course is what type of water again?
Sewage.
Sewage.
We have a very, very good processing plant, sewage processing plant. And in reality, to be honest with you, if you went to the end of that plant and took the water that comes out of that plant, it is drinkable. We have had our mayor and a couple of people who drank it just to show you. It is not a problem.
So you're saying that the reason why the grass there is really so green is because it's very well fertilized. When you're playing golf, you're basically walking on. You can fill the blanks.
Well, that's not really, that's what I say. It's been processed. I mean, it isn't so well fertilized. It is well watered because we have to get rid of that water. The water has to go somewhere, and you can't send it back to the system. You can't just put it in the river or anything else. Although, technically speaking, if you were to look at it and test it, it could go in the river, and no one would know the difference. But the law says you have to use it. You have to put it somewhere, and it has to. What do you call it when water goes through the earth? It that cleans it. I don't remember. It's not osmosis. That's the only word I can think of. But anyway. We need that property, that land, that actual acreage to get rid of that water. That's why the golf course is so green, because we abundantly water it. Where the golf courses have to pay for that water, we are actually, it's paying us. So, you know, there are things like that happen, that the city has stepped in and bought a couple of things, and some people get upset about that. But you got to think twice about where the city or the state. There are places they need to spend their money that a lot of people don't agree with. And if you sit back and read the information that is put out about it, or talk to somebody who knows about it, you probably would agree with it. So just disagreeing on the fact that, you know, on the face of it, is not a good thing to do. You need to research it.
Well, and speaking of the research, you know, getting back to what Governor Walker is doing, you know, I understand your opinion on, you know, where the money's flowing to, but, you know, bottom line is that government has a habit of not really being very good with their budgets, and in a way they don't have to be, because all they have to do is increase fees and taxes and everything else. I mean, when I got my driver's license renewed a couple of weeks ago, it cost me $100 to renew my driver's license, where last time I renewed it, I think it was like $34. It wasn't, I mean, talk about sticker shock. You know, and we hear constantly where on one side they're cutting out fire and police and other services, but yet they find money to come up with for, okay, maybe buses are okay, but some other stuff, which, like you're saying about the golf course, you know, that has a benefit, obviously. But, you know, on the surface, you know, like the citizens of Cottage Grove were saying, well, you know, why do we need the golf course? Well, okay, yes, that does provide a practical surface and probably saves money in the long run because of the way the water is processed. But on the other side of the coin, just like with Obama's stimulus package, when the money is supposed to, is intended to go and help the individual homeowners, which the people, the citizens themselves, they are the revenue generators for the government. The government does not generate revenue or very little revenue on its own. And the more that you put the stranglehold on the roots of the money tree, per se, the more that that money tree is going to die because it's being starved off. You know, and so the money going, you know, what the Wisconsin mayor is doing by you know, intercepting this money, I think is a bad thing. Because then the people that really needed the help, the ones that would be generating the property taxes and the other fees and taxes that go along with it, they're the ones that's going to be the biggest losers. And then, of course, you know, the state loses out because it loses the income.
Well, I see what you're saying, and I agree with you that, you know, I somewhat doubt the ability of the federal government to decide where the money should be spent and the validity and what their decision making is. I have very little faith in the federal government figuring things out very well. But, you know, it still should be, well, I don't know. It's really hard to say because there's just so many places the money can go. And the simple fact is every state and every government is having trouble with money, and they need money. And so consequently, there are going to be problems all along the line. You sit back and you look and say, well, look, gosh, in the last 3 or 4 years, you know, we've been having real problems with who's spending the money and how they're spending it. But it's not that. We have had the same problems all along. It's just we had enough money before, and we didn't think too much about it. As long as it's being spent and nobody's concerned themselves with it and nobody's been cut off like they are now, we just let it happen. We just ignore it. But now that it's been cut off and we have to throttle back and pay attention to what we're spending it on, everybody gets upset. Things need to be cut, but nobody wants their thing cut. It should be somebody else's thing that gets cut. But everybody's thing needs to be cut. And so we need to sit back. And if you really want to look at what's going on and you really want to open your eyes as to how bad it can get, go take a look at what's happening in Greece right now, because they're having major, major problems. Athens is in flames at this very moment because they've got people that are demonstrating and very upset about how much they're having to cut back because they're asking for loans from the European Union, and the European Union says, you've got to cut it back or we're not going to give you any more loans. You know, we've done this before, and we're not cutting it. So everybody has to cut back. Everybody in the United States has to cut back somewhere. There are a few states, I think, that are doing halfway decently, but most of them are needing to trim things in their budget, including Oregon.
Well, and they're talking, too, that they're estimating that gas is going to go up 60 cents per gallon because of what's going on overseas. And despite some, well, under the category as the government just doesn't get it, you know, they're blaming the housing crisis on Wall Street, where, if my memory serves me correctly, our economic problems really didn't start happening until gas reached $4.50 to $5 a gallon. You know, I mean, yes, the Wall Street speculators, you know, they saw the crude going up, and of course they jumped on the bandwagon to make money. But you know, our governments didn't help either. Like in Eugene, you know, they raised the gas tax up five cents a gallon during that time as gas kept going up. And 5 cents a gallon, you know, when you add got a 15-20 gallon tank, doesn't sound like much, but, you know, it adds up and gets to the point that, you know, you're spending $50, $60 a week in fuel. And, I mean, pretty soon you're making a decision. Well, do I buy food today? Do I cut back on medications? Because I need, you know, not everybody can take the bus.
Well, that's true. And, you know, that's where we've got a major problem. We've got to decide why are we doing this? Why is the price of gasoline, let's use that for an example. Why is that going up so high? We do not have a shortage of oil, ready or not. We do not, you know, the oil, the crude oil, we get most of our oil from Canada and a lot of from Mexico. That's no problem. You can cut off every strait of Hormuz or whatever you want to call it, If you want to, you can cut off every way of getting oil, but those two places can supply us, along with our own, with enough oil to get along with. But why are we doing that? We've got to look at what's going on here. We've got to cut back on rules and regulations. Obama keeps talking about doing that, but we don't do it. We've got to cut back on rules and regulations so that we can mine and drill the kinds of facilities that we already have. We have the resources. We have the natural gas. We have the oil, for that matter, if we get off on that. But we're putting rules and regulations on sun solar panels and things. We're putting rules and regulations on where we can put windmills and things like that. We need to cut back on all these rules and regulations making it cost so much money to do the alternative fuels. We've got lots of alternative fuels. We've got to make it more accessible and more usable.
Well, speaking,
are you aware?
I was just going to throw in there real quick, since you were talking about China and Canada, the Keystone Pipeline, which Obama has been, you know, denying or vetoing. Canada wasn't going to wait around. That's what they said in the beginning, and well, they just recently worked out a deal with China to buy their oil.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's, we don't need the oil, for that matter, but it would have been easier. And the thing is, what we do need is the jobs that would have been generated by building that pipeline and by operating it once they got things built. I mean, we just threw away thousands of jobs, ready or not. That's just what happened. But that's the kind of thing that's going on. We've got to, if we can get rid of a lot of the regulations that drive the cost of doing things up, it would open up jobs, it would open up money, it would open up a lot of things, and we've got to be able to do that.
Well, and also, as they've been arguing for a long time, you know, making us less dependent on other countries, well, we have an opportunity. I mean, yeah, I'd be more dependent on Canada, but it'd still be foreign oil, but it'd be a lot easier, I would think, than our current sources. But when we get the opportunities to, you know, to kind of stray away from that, we shy away. I mean, but you're right, too. I mean, look at North Dakota. There's a lot of oil right now in North Dakota and in other areas, but now we're worried about, like, fracking and the environmental issues on that and other. It seems like we're self-destructive. I mean, yes, don't get me wrong. You know, we got to be concerned about the environment, of course, but, you know, sometimes we just tie our own hands too hard.
Not nearly as concerned as we are at this particular point. And we could open up a lot of things and make it a lot easier for people to build things or to get the oil out. But, I mean, even the point of windmills and things like that, I see we should pay attention to, there are some hassles. Windmills make noise, and you don't want to necessarily have 1,000 windmills right next to your housing development because the noise would get annoying. But on the same tokens, we need to be able to make it at least places where the people can put the windmills. We can research and work on windmills. By the way, there are different kinds of windmills you can build that don't make that noise. So there are ways around that. All we have to do is make a way of doing it. We could go to natural gas. We've got a lot of natural gas around that we could be taking out, including in North Dakota, from what I understand.
And in D.C.
But all, pardon?
And in D.C.
D.C.
Vermont.
It's not the natural I'm thinking of. But anyway, that is true. You know, the electric thing. Are you aware that the government is coming up with a way to, we are putting charging stations, electric charging stations, on I-5, the corridor all the way up from Mexico to Canada, is getting built. We are actually have an electric charging station that will be done in a couple of weeks right here in Cottage Grove, and it's right off I-5, and you can stop and charge your electric car, and individual companies, Walgreens, in the city of Cottage Grove. Their new store has electric chargers for cars. They have two stalls in the back of the store where if you have an electric car, you can go in there, and while you're in doing your shopping, you can have your car out there charging up. So if you spend 10, 20 minutes in there shopping, you can do quite a bit of a charge on your car. Some chargers, the really big chargers, will charge a lot of cars in 20 minutes. So And this is, you know, I assume it's going to be every 20 or 30 miles they're going to have one of these things, because that's how far that's the average car goes in a charge. The Leap, some of them go a lot more than that, and we're trying to get them all to go more than that. But they're actually doing this. This is not just a potential. That's actually almost done.
Okay, I got a solution for high energy output for electric cars.
Yeah?
Very simple. Okay, you know, if you take a little piece of rubber and you rub it against wool or a rubber-type material, rub it against wool, you can create a static charge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you just put some wool over your tire, and as you drive down the street, you just build up a charge.
I think you've got the wool over your eyes.
That could be. Speaking of over my eyes, how about this? 646-721-9887. Give us a call on this or any other topic that's on your mind today. And it's kind of a...
If you have something to talk about, let us know, because we'd be more than happy to change the subject if you've got something to talk about.
Exactly, and especially while the system seems to be currently working. 646-721-9887. And Cliff, do you wanted to touch a little bit more on the AT&T thing?
Well, I just finding it kind of interesting, because if you've got a wireless phone, and almost everyone does, and especially if it's a smartphone, because nowadays you do an awful lot of messaging and an awful lot of communications on a phone that isn't just talking to people and using your voice, because the phones are being used for everything. In fact, more probably now for text messaging and things like that than anything else. But I didn't know if people are aware that you can buy these phone programs that are unlimited. You supposedly get unlimited data speeds and data messaging and all this kind of thing, and none of them are unlimited in reality. Absolutely none of them, except Sprint at this point, and that's not going to last long, I'm sure, are unlimited. AT&T is one of the worst ones, and they're talking about if you go over a certain point, what they do is they don't say no more. They slow your system down. So if you had to download something that normally would take you a few seconds to download, all of a sudden, once you go over that limit, it takes 2, 3, 4 minutes to download the same thing. And AT&T, they have about 30-35 million subscribers, and about 17 million of those each month get limited, get slowed down, and start to just running along at a snail's pace. And they don't really, some of them, I guess, don't even really know what's going on. They think, don't know what they think, but I know it would be annoying to me. But then they go through the rest of the billing cycle, the month or whatever it is, before they put it back up unlimited again. And I've had internet services where I had the same thing happen, didn't know what was going on. I'd be going along just fine, everything would be great, and then all of a sudden, towards the end of the month, everything slowed way down, and I didn't know what was going on. I found out about it later, but right now, AT&T, if you go over 2.3 gigabytes of data, they start slowing you down and cutting you down. And
AT&T, I'm not surprised, because in the beginning, when we had dial-up, kids nowadays never had to suffer through dial-up, but it bogged down the relay circuits so bad that instead of expanding and take advantage of the supply and demand, AT&T in particular and Quest both complained and started charging more, and basically they were taking an opportunity and making it work against them, in my opinion. And then, you know, other methods came up, and boom, we have the internet as it is today. Well, now you got 3G, 4G network, and people streaming high definition video. That takes a lot of bandwidth and a lot of back end infrastructure to do. And so, as more and more,
and they're changing and expanding the technology faster than they're expanding the backup system that supports the technology, the towers, the number of towers, and how many calls you can have on each tower, the number of wires that you've got going. All that isn't being built nearly as fast as how many telephones are being built and put out there that are using that technology. So, you know, AT&T is bad about it, but so is Verizon, for example, on theirs. They let you go, and they have a system set up so that each different tower, if that tower is busier, then it slows you down. If it's not busier, it lets you go full blast. So that's a little more metered and adjustable so that you can understand it more. People still don't understand it when it slows way down. They don't know why, but that is why. But right now, there's two things that we have a major problem with. The telephone system, which is the wireless system as well, that we just haven't caught up with. And you're seeing, I don't know if you've noticed it, there are thousands of towers. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. And yet there isn't enough of them. Maybe we need to change the system of how many phones each tower can handle and start getting into that part of it. But the other thing you have a problem is the electrical grid. The electrical grid we have is having a real problem. Where I was just talking, I'm mentioning about the fact that we're going to have the electric cars. Once we get to a certain point, we don't have grid. The grid's not going to hold up under this business of everything being electrical. If we were to make all the cars electric as fast as we could possibly do it, it's not going to work because the electric grid just isn't big enough, isn't I don't know what I want to call it.
I think it's not strong. I think the grid would hold true. But
no.
When you look at how much current the electric cars, I mean, they're going to have to increase. They may have to add more lines or whatever, but I think it's going to be a long time before technology gets good enough that people are going to give up their internal combustion engine and switch over to electric.
I don't. I think it's going to happen fairly quickly because the federal government is also mandating that it happen fairly quickly. These electric cars that the manufacturers are putting out at this particular point, this is not just because they thought this was fun and it's a neat thing to do. The federal government has mandated that X amount of cars have to be electric by X amount of time, and 2015 is one of the big, and then 2025 is going to be another one. And we're getting there, and basically by 2025, we're going to have a major load being put on our electrical grid. It's not going to be able to handle much more than that. And so we've got to consider a lot of things that are going to have to go on here before very long.
Well, and that's kind of the argument against the electric vehicles is that, you know, they're saying, well, yeah, you're going to save energy by switching over to electric. But look what it takes to generate that electricity. You know, in a sense, are you really saving anything in the long run? As far as the environment?
Saving. If you mean people saving money, that's not the point.
What I mean is that, you know, from the generation station to all the resources to get that electricity to the car, to the batteries, what it takes to create the batteries, you know, if you add all that up versus what it takes to make a gallon of gasoline, I mean, is it really a savings, both cost and environmentally?
Well, actually, if you wish to get technical about it, it doesn't make any difference if it adds up, because in about 25 years, the cost of making a gallon of gasoline is going to be moot point. There won't be any there. We are running out of oil, ready or not. I've been reading about this for years, but I have a National Geographic magazine that has a whole big thing in there that shows you how much crude oil.
You just got it for the pictures.
Actually, this particular one I didn't. They do a great job of doing pictures and maps and charts and things like that. It very well points out who has the oil and who doesn't have the oil, the crude oil. Right now, I don't know if you're aware of it or not, Mexico is only allowing us X amount, and I don't know if I have the numbers with me at the moment, but Mexico is only allowing us X amount of crude oil that they're shipping to us each month because they're holding back. They've only got so much under the ground, and they know how much it is, and they don't want it all gone at once. So they're giving us, they're metering it out to us, as is everyone. We're taking almost everything that Canada will supply. The only country that I know of at the moment that is not carefully allocating how much crude oil that they give out is Russia.
Well, that gets back to the point about the Keystone Pipeline. I mean, Canada is willing to let us uh, to you know, for us to buy their oil and ship it down here. And we got our fingers up our butt, and we let the opportunity go by. China's getting it now, and we'll probably buy it from China.
Well, that's nothing is settled, by the way, in that. China is not getting it. They're talking about working a deal with China, but it's not as set in stone. The pipeline could still come through this country and go to Texas. It's not impossible. But China's going to get a great deal of it anyway. That's one of the things that's going on. China is now using huge amounts of energy, huge amounts of crude oil or gasoline or whatever you want to call it, and they can't supply it themselves at this particular point. So the United States used to be the biggest consumer of crude oil. I believe, if it hasn't already happened within the next year or so, we will be number two. China will have taken us in that particular category because they're adding to their cars and their use of the crude significantly faster than we are. They're growing leaps and bounds. And even at the point that they're slowing down right now, they're still growing leaps and bounds faster than we are.
Well,
but we're going to have to figure out where to get more. And see, that's what really disturbs me, because the United States has the resources. We have the resources, and yet we still are opting to use somebody else's. We need to get off the hook and start using our own, because that's why we've got to come up with electric resources. You can't continue to you know, electricity and wind power. Electricity is the only thing that's regenerable. We can keep generating electricity, and the wind power and the solar power electricity is something that we can do forever. It's not going to run out. Almost everything else will. I'm dead set against any nuclear power plants anymore. There should be nothing available for those, because we can't control that. We have just proved that in Japan. We simply can't control that, and we keep controlling, proving it. And so before we get a real major, and I'm not sure that Japan isn't, before we get a real major problem with nuclear power, we need to stop doing it and get off that road.
Well, I want to add real quick here to go along with your electric car thing. You made a good point a couple of weeks back. What would really make electric cars more feasible is that because time is money with people. You know, I mean, if you're going, say, from Cottage Grove to Portland, which would be about, 120 miles roughly,
mm-hmm.
You may be using up the majority. You're probably not going to have enough electricity to make a round trip without stopping for 30 minutes somewhere. But if you could pull into a station, a charging station, and drop your batteries and plug in another set, so you're in and out in 5 minutes like you are with a car, then maybe electric cars would become more feasible.
And they are already doing that, by the way. They are already trying that in a couple of countries where is Shell from? I don't remember what country it is, some Norwegian country or Nordic country up there. They've got the whole country wired that way. There's a couple of countries that are already doing that with the replaceable batteries. But they're also going on together because, you know, the new batteries are a little better than the older batteries. Lithium ion is the newest battery that I know of, and they're already old hat, I guess. But the point is, you can now go like this. Even this charging station here in Cottage Grove, sitting behind the restaurant, they can run a full charge on your car from nothing to a full charge in less than 20 minutes. So the time that you go in and have yourself a hamburger or a Coke or something at the restaurant, you could come back out and your car would be charged. So they can do it fairly fast right now. Of course, it would still be faster if you just had a service station where you just pop in and change batteries and then pop out. And that's a very easy thing, and it's an easy thing to contain, because you could just pop in there, and as they're changing the batteries, they can test it and find out how much electricity is still left in it and charge you for how much you've used or not used. And it's a real easy thing. It could be faster than putting gasoline in your car, for that matter.
Well, okay, but what about long term? Like, people are keeping their vehicles longer, and so as you know, as electric cars get older, per se, say you bought, you know, a 2012 car, and is it going to last 10 years? And what happens when the cars start getting worn out? What's going to happen, you know, because batteries are hazardous material, you just can't throw them in a landfill and or in a junkyard or whatever. What are you going to do with them as they get older?
Yeah, the batteries are rebuildable. You can take a battery apart once it's stopped working, and you can refurbish it and make it work again, and that's a possibility. And as far as batteries are concerned, I understand that they don't last forever, so consequently there is a point where you are going to have to replace your battery. But that's happening with everything. I don't know if you know it or not, but the new televisions, for example, LCD TVs, those don't last like the old ones did. I have a television that I had for 27 years without having replaced it. By the time 27 years was around, it was getting a little weak. But now, if you're lucky, your LCD TV is going to last you 10 years, and then you're going to have to replace it, at least replace the screen. So things are working their way to that point anyway, and you're going to have to consider that in what you're buying. You know, because some people, you're right, do keep cars for 20 years, 30 years. And if that's going to be the case, you're going to have to buy a new battery as well as charging it on a regular basis. So that's just one of the things. You know, there are a lot of things in any car that you're going to have to replace. You have to put even in a regular car, you put new batteries in. They don't last for 30 years. So there's a lot of things that are going to change somewhat. But that's not a concern, I don't think. The length of how far you can go on a charge. Now, what they're working on now is only 40 miles, because a lot of the cars that are being put out now only go about 40 miles. The Volt, for example, only goes 40 miles on a charge. But then a lot of them have gasoline motors in them to augment that. But the new charger, new batteries and things, they're getting cars that can go up to 250 miles and more on a charge from your end. And those batteries are a new kind of battery, and they can be charged unbelievably fast. And it just blows my mind at how fast you can charge a car in 20 minutes. That's just amazing to me.
Exactly. Well, go ahead. I want to wrap this up here and switch to another topic pretty quick here. So.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, first thing, we've got time flying really fast. We've got 33 minutes remaining in the program, 646-721-9887. Give us a call. We've had a lot of people popping in and out of the chat room today. Welcome. Unfortunately, Blog Talk Radio, if you're logged in as a guest, Blog Talk Radio does not allow you to type in your comments in the chat room, which is really sad. I bug them about that every chance I can. You can, however, get a Blog Talk Radio account for free, so you can participate. But again, the best way to do it is give us a call, 646-721-9887. If you're listening to the program on the archives, send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com. Cliff, have you been following what's been going on between the Obama administration and the Catholic Church?
I've heard something about that, a few things about that, yeah. What have you got in mind?
Well, basically, what the Catholic Church is complaining about is the Obama administration's ruling that insurance companies have to provide contraceptive coverage for free to all of their subscribers. And
I don't even know if it's for free that they have to supply it, but they do have to supply it. And this is a case where I'm on Obama's side. I don't think the Catholic Church should be allowed I was listening to some people that were being interviewed this morning, as a matter of fact, on the early morning radio shows. They were talking about the fact, in fact, they were talking to a couple of congregations of Catholic churches, and the people in the Catholic Church, they were talking to them as they came out, and exit polling, if you wish, whatever you want to call it, but to a person, not one of the people believed or accepted what the Catholic Church was trying to preach. They all, almost everyone, one of the ladies says, look around in here. You don't see families with four and five kids. You see families with one and two. That means that they're practicing some sort of contraception, whether you like it or not, or whether the Catholic Church likes it or not. So, you know, Catholic Church, I don't know if you're aware or not, they don't even want you to use abstinence. They just want you to have lots and lots and lots of kids, and that's stupid. We're not trying to propagate the world. We're not trying to make the religion bigger, although I'm sure the Catholics would like to have it bigger. They'd like to have everybody in the world being Catholic, but that ain't going to happen either. So, I think I happen to be on Obama's side in this particular war.
Well, the thing that gets back down to is again, the mandates. Again, it's the just like the Obamacare, when the government gets to the point that it mandates that you purchase something, you know, in a sense that, they're telling the insurance companies that they got to provide for free contraceptive care. Well, somebody's got to pay for that, and chances are that's...
I didn't get it that they were supposed to supply it for free. I was got it that they need to provide it. They needed to have it provided, but I don't think it was for free.
Well, that's to my understanding. I could be wrong, and if I am, give us a call, 646-721-9887. So I'll just throw that in there.
yeah. No, I just, you know, I agree that I don't necessarily think we need to. This business of you know, I guess I have to go a different step. I believe that we should do the whole medical thing for free. I think we should have the whole Medicaid, the program should be free, and we shouldn't have to worry about insurances. Insurance company is a big ripoff in the first place. It's a big gamble. It's just there's so many things that are being necessarily advocated by the federal government. But government provided health care is something that I think we should have. I don't think it would cost us any more than what we're doing right now, but it should be provided. People need to have that. We would, you know, there most other countries in the world provide government offered health care, provided free to their citizens. A lot of the countries, you know, you can go outside of their system and buy it if you want to, but it's there if you need it. So in most countries, I think most countries complain about it, but they don't complain about it any more vehemently than we do in this country. So the idea that our country has got the better medical care is a big farce. I don't think that's true at all.
Well, you make a good point. I mean, if other countries can go ahead and provide health care to all of the citizens, you know, without the risk of bankrupting them, why can't they?
Well, it's not bankrupting anyone. You're paying the taxes for that in any country, and so you know it's just a matter of the fact that by making it available to everyone. Because see, there's a difference between health care and a lot of other things. Because a lot of people will not have things done because they just simply don't feel they can afford them. Now, if it was taken out of your check, at $5 a month or something like that for your entire life, you don't miss it, you don't notice it's gone, and when you need to have something done, you just go in and have it done because it's free. Now, I understand that there are some instances where there are some limitations, and you have to put some limitations on there. If you're 70 years old and you need a heart transplant to keep you alive another 20 years, they may say no because you're 70 years old, for heaven's sakes. What are you going to do? So, you know, there are some limitations as to what goes on, and it's hard to take, but you've got to make some sacrifices somewhere along the line. And everyone is treated equally. Right now, if you're 70 years old and you need a heart transplant, you don't have the proper insurance, they still say in this country too. So at least it's a more fair and equitable system in some of these other countries than it is ours.
Now, the thing is, though, I mean, people are living longer.
We're not hearing you. What's happened?
Hello.
Tap something or click something or do something because you're not coming through. We've lost you somewhere along the line. Still lost you, dude.
Testing.
There you are.
Yeah. Well, I had to slap the mixer.
Excuse me. It's like across the room.
I tell you. Don't get me started on quality.
No comment. I'm sorry.
Well,
okay.
I'm composing myself. 646-721-9887. Give us a call and chime in on this. and I'm giving my mixer dirty looks. I guess, you know, if I paid $10 for this thing, I wouldn't complain. But this is a well, I don't know. Would you call it a pro mixer, a professional mixer, or?
It's Behringer is the brand. I mean, it's rated one of the best there is. It's German, you're the only person I've ever known of that has had major problems with a Behringer piece of equipment. So maybe that's where we said, yeah, give us a call if you've worked with Behringer and like it or dislike it. 646-721-9887. Maybe there's a lot of people having trouble with them, but I don't use them myself. I use Tascam, so that's another story. But and I've had no trouble with the Tascam. It's been extremely good. I've had it for years. It sits here doing its thing. It's super. So, but it is. In both of them, Behringer is good. The Tascam I've got is a professional version. It's not the daily version that you would find, but I paid a lot of money for it, but that was a long time ago too. So anyway,
Nate, it's just
the technical side of things here. That was weird. I'm nervous. That's you just went away, and then all of a sudden, crash! You came back.
Yeah, you just have to hit right. And the thing is, I'm easy on my equipment. Is that, you know, and all of my computer stuff is set so it doesn't suffer from the Pepsi syndrome.
Really? I can do that. I saw a commercial for Pepsi last night that I thought was great. I don't remember what it was. I should shut up about that. Anyway.
646-721-9887. We got 25 minutes remaining in the program. More than enough time to give us a call. And again, this kind of granted, we had a few topics on top of the list, but, you know, if there is something you'd like to chime in on, whether what we've been talking about or something new, give us a call. 646-721-9887. It's kind of an open rant and rave day, and I'm trying to keep it peaceful.
Well, I'd like to get in something about this Occupy Wall Street people, because I'm getting a little upset at what's going on. They don't really have any particular subject in mind. It's what they want to do or don't want to do. Now they're talking about doing a bus tour, an Occupy Wall Street bus tour. Can you imagine that? They're going on tour. They're getting really carried away in Oakland because they're burning things and doing things. They wanted to last month, and just not that many weeks ago, it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, they did a big thing in Oakland, in downtown Oakland. Oakland decided you shouldn't be out there in the parks and stuff like that. So they decided they were going to take over a building. Mind you, it wasn't their building, but they decided they were going to take over the building anyway and live and have their offices and everything in this building. Well, you can't just go decide that I want this building and take over. Not the way we do things in this country. You have private property, and if you have private property, if you want to leave it empty, you can, but somebody else can't come along and just take over the building. But now that they've been slowed down there and the police have spent a lot of time and a lot of money and a lot of resources on trying to keep the Occupy people in tow, so to speak, but now they've decided they want to go around the country in a bus tour. Now, if they can afford to go around the country in a bus tour, what are they going to do? Occupy the buses and at gun, you know, I want to go to Tennessee or something, you know. That's against the law with airplanes. It should be against the law with buses, too. But if they can afford to have buses, they don't have a request. They don't have a demand. What do they want? Each one of them wants something different. And I'm getting a little tired of it. This whole Occupy thing.
Well, you know, it's kind of like what George Carlin was saying, kind of a different topic. But, you know, when they were occupying a building, one of George Carlin's jokes was, a man has barricaded himself inside of his house. And nobody cared.
Yeah.
Well,
one of the things that I'm seeing here that they're saying this, they talked to interviewed a person, Dorley Rainey, Miss Rainey. She's an older person, but she's a part of the Occupy Wall Street movement. And she says what her goal is. She, you know, people have different goals. She says, my goal is that we've got to build a movement that will replace the type of government that we have now. Now, wait a minute here. We're going to replace our entire government, and that's her goal? That's getting a little carried away. What's that?
That's Obama's job.
Well, they don't want his government either. I mean, we're just getting just totally at the loss. I mean, everybody has a different goal, and that one, I think, is just – that one's – I don't know what to call that. That's there's a word for that, and I can't think of what it is right off at the moment. But to replace our government, no.
No. In fact, it's bad
to
enough.
Fix.
Speaking of replacing the government, is bad enough that our own – government officials, including the Supreme Court, is putting down the Constitution, thinking that it's, you know, an outdated, unimportant document. It's like, guys,
really?
The Constitution.
Really?
And also Obama, speaking of Obama, complaining that the Constitution is getting in the way, that I don't have the quote in front of me, but something similar to that, what they call the ruler in China has a lot of American Constitution.
We've lost your audio again here.
Yeah.
Keeps coming and going, interestingly enough. Oh, okay.
I'm back. Okay. Yeah, if you hear a crash, you may find a mixer on the road. No, but the what do they call the leader of China? That's not prime minister, isn't it?
I don't know.
Well, anyways, Obama was saying that the leader of China has it a lot easier in getting things done because the U.S. Constitution ties his hands too much. And that is the whole point of the Constitution, is to keep, especially from one person, to be able to just run off and do whatever they want to. I mean, just imagine how the country would be now if we didn't have the Constitution, or the restrictions that it does impose on government based on the last 3 years.
What we would have is China or a couple of these other countries. Because you're right, that's the important thing. And for Obama to think that he should be allowed to do whatever he wants, whenever he wants to do it, I'm very happy that we have controls on that. Although we aren't using our controls, we're allowing him to get away with a lot of the things that he's trying to do. He's bypassing a lot of the rules and regulations that we have that constrict what he can do and what he can't do, and we're letting him get away with it. But that's why I maintain we've got to this. This is an extremely important time to worry about who we vote for. That's, you know, I've sat back and I've taken a kind of a moderated view of what's happening and what Mr. Obama is doing. And some of the things he's coming around at this particular point, he's coming up with some ideas that actually are a little more like acceptable to the general populace as far as it's concerned. But he's still not there. And the thing is, if we keep giving into him, he's going to take over, and it's going to be King Obama instead of President Obama. And we can't allow that to happen. Our federal government type of system has got to be continued and perpetrated the way it's supposed to be, rather than changing it. Just the things are not going right now, and I'll agree with this lady. The things are not going right now, but you don't go out and change the whole system, especially when you're not adhering to the original system. If we were doing the original system properly and sticking to the rules, then that would be one thing if they didn't work. But the Constitution does work if you live by it instead of...
Yeah, it's just like this little audio that I have on the archives here.
And I confess, I am excited to see Mickey. It's always nice to meet a world leader who has bigger ears than me.
But the thing is that the checks and balances, which is the Congress and the House, are failing because they're not doing their job. They're not taking their job seriously. They've gone there to be millionaires. And just like the recent vote, what was it, to curtail insider trading, You know, of course, some of the members voted against it because that, you know, they're making huge money. They're going to retire, very well, actually. But
you know, the thing is, if we put term limits on everything there, so they can only stay there so long, I don't, you know, I disagree that I'm not really a real advocate of them going in there to become millionaires. But if each one of them goes in there and becomes a millionaire and then leaves and then does their job, I wouldn't even mind that. You know, we're talking about 435 people, something like that.
If they do their if they do their job, when they go in there with the attitude of, you know, why read the bill, or like Nancy Pelosi saying, well, we got to pass the bill to be able to know what's inside of it or what's in it. It's like, no. If you don't know what's in the bill, you don't vote in favor of it. In fact, vote to have it, what's the term, have it tabled or something to, you know, you either vote no or no.
We're supposed to talk about it and discuss it and look into it and see what it is and what it isn't while it's in the House or in the Senate, either way. But, that's the thing. When you've got... We started out with the House and Senate both being Democratic and the President being Democratic. We did have an election which changed the House, so it's not totally Democratic, and now we have things stymied in there. But if we were to, at this next election, we've got to make enough of a difference that we have the checks and balances back again instead of just stymieing everything. And once we've got it done, I think there's a lot of people that are sitting back, especially the people in the House and in the Senate, are sitting back waiting for this next election to happen. And we've got to consider the fact that we've got to change some people. But then once we get them in there, we've got to do something about changing how long they can stay there. This business about being a Kennedy and going in for 20 years old and being in the same position until you die, that's got to stop. We've got to put term limits on things.
I totally agree with you on that. In fact, what I'm really kind of disappointed in is like a lot of the complaints over the last 3 years, like, for example, you know, questioning Obama's birth certificate and the court cases on that and how much time and effort has been taken on that. Okay, fine. I can understand them questioning it. But why haven't we used our experience of the last 3 years, since we love to create laws, about creating new requirements so we don't run into these questions again?
Well,
those are checks and balances, basically, is what I'm saying. Like you said, term limits, so we don't have these people. I mean, yeah, they can go ahead and be millionaires. I don't care. But we pay them, or they're there to do a job, and they're not doing their job.
Well, see, again, that's why we need to have the term limits. A lot of their job is being forsaken by the fact that they've got to come up with money to campaign to get back in and do something. It's a big, real problem we've got to have them there working while they're there, not trying to perpetuate the fact that they can come back again. So that's why we've got to make them aware of the fact that once they get there, they're only going to be there X amount of time. They can be there, do their job, and get out. Now, if they want to learn, try to figure out a way to make a couple of bucks while you're there, that's not a big real problem. If they want to do it illegally, that is a real problem. So we've got to, again, we need to post that to
28th
over lots of more places, because people really need to read that and understand that. That's an important thing, and we need to try to get that actually adopted.
Well, let me throw a question out to you. Again, like using the insider trading comment and say also comparing Martha Stewart, who went to jail for insider trading. Okay, let's say you are a government official and you are currently an active trader and your term is coming up and you still have trades that you have made based on that insider information, and now you did not get reelected. So when your term's over, that makes you a regular citizen again, correct?
Yeah.
So any trade that you are currently doing after that point, you risk going to jail, technically.
Well, that's fine. And I believe he should have risked going to jail in the first place. I mean, we just because we put you in there doesn't mean that you're capable of doing anything you want to. You've got to live by the same rules and regulations that we live by. That's the first thing.
Is there anything in the Constitution or anything that specifically says that government officials, especially high-ranking government officials, are not subject to the laws that they pass?
I don't think it's in the Constitution, but they pass laws that allow themselves to do things.
Does it actually say that, or are they just assuming?
Well, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. That's not one of the things. I'm more interested in the overall thing of get the bums out. Sorry. We need to change things and then work individually. We need to start working bit by bit to change things and changing the people. See, our Constitution, some based on the fact that we assume that our people are trustworthy and try to specifically get away with things just because they can. And that's where we've made a mistake, it seems, because our population seems to have decided that anything I can get away with is fine. And so they try to get away with everything they can. And that's where we've got a problem. We've got to get back to some sort of honor, some sort of morals in our country. And that's one of the things we've lost track of.
Maybe the question they ask is, because I think when people go in or when they run for office, they really do go in with the intention of doing a good job and helping out. You know, that a lot of the stuff that they are promising, you know, they is what they really want to do. Something happens once they step through those doors.
Again, it is back to this money-making thing. You've got to spend your time. You want to get reelected, and you've got to spend your time campaigning to get more money, to get more time in there to do it. That's why we've got to give them a limit on how long they're going to be there. There's got to be some presets. You've got to know how long you're going to be there, no matter what. And that way you can spend that time trying to get something done. If you can't get something done in that period of time, that means you haven't worked right, you haven't worked hard enough, or you haven't convinced enough people or something. It's a failure on your part. But this system that we have sets you up to be a failure from the minute you walk in the door.
Well, is there a requirement that, say, once you get elected to like Congress or to the House or whatever, is there a requirement of attendance? How often you have to show up?
I thought there was, but obviously there doesn't seem to be.
If anybody knows, send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com, if you have the answer to that question. Because maybe that's half the thing. You know, get me elected, and I'm going to collect my little pay and my whatever the term is, political action money, and. Hey, just give me big bucks. I won't even show up.
Yeah, see, that's where we need to have something in there. I was under the impression there was, but I don't know. I should be if I'm going to sit here and talk about it, but I'm not a scholar of the Supreme or any court, not the Supreme Court, but the House or the Senate. But I do know we need to have more reputable people in there. We need to have people who are more interested in what they're doing. You know, and what really gets to me is most people that take and run for these offices and get in these offices don't need the money. Why are they so busy getting more money?
Great.
I mean, it's obviously money. It's power. Somehow or another, it's power that they want.
No, it's basically greed. You know, I've known a few millionaires in my lifetime, and most of them are pretty cool. I mean, they're smart people. One of them that I've known, I really feel sorry for him. He's only worth like about $7 or $8 million. He can't get enough money, and he will do anything that he can to cheat you out of money so he can, you know, so he can make money. Also, that they're also the worst people in trying to collect your bills out of.
There's a lot of people like that. I know that. I've met a few of those myself. But anyway, that's that's one of the things that we need to, again, I just keep going back to the very start of things. We need to change the president and the House and the Senate right at the moment. We need to change the members. And if not all of them, a lot of them. I think most of the people that we changed this last election are probably very definitely trying to do their job. Maybe a couple of them are. But we, if we can change enough of them, again, the only problem I have is, as I said before, if we change everything over from Democratic to Republican, are we going to have the same problem in the opposite direction? I don't know. We need to have some give and take in there.
Well, apparently there is some noise being made about that. This is January 4th from Politico, where the GOP backpedals on committee attendance rules, where the House representatives have voted to peel back a requirement that would have been required them to publicly post committee attendance.
Yeah. Well, they take the attendance. They take the roll. Every time they have a vote on something, they take a roll call. And so if they're not there, the thing is, I think there's some way they can vote absentee, so to speak, and we've got to stop that. You know, if they're there, they have to be there. They can't be out doing something else. And so while they're in session and voting on these things, they need to be there in their seat and considering these things. This business of doing things absentee and having someone push the button for you or whatever, that's got to stop. That's the thing we need to control.
Well, that gets back to the thing. If you want, it used to be an honor to hold those positions. You know, you're representing your country and the people of your district, and you know you want to take it seriously. You know, and not just kind of like how much golf can you get in this year, or consider it, you know, total vacation. Which now, granted, there are people out there, I'm sure, that do take it seriously and work very hard at it. But unfortunately, the squeaky wheel thing, where a lot of them don't.
Well, and of course, I always try to consider the fact that just because it's something I like doesn't mean it's something that everyone likes. And nobody likes everything that I like, I'm sure of that. So consequently, in some instances, you know, things that I think are just desperately wrong, other people may not think are wrong. So, you know, that's a consideration too. But we've got to, somewhere along the line, we've gotten, our biggest problem right now is money. We've got to work out our financial concerns. And
well,
I keep hearing
that. Let me throw one thing to finish your point, though, is that if you have people showing up in attendance and not doing it remotely, you can get a debate going, the whole reason for having the House of Congress, the House of Representatives, is not just to get up there and I'd like to pass this bill and, you know, I'm having my representatives again, get out there and defend it, to get the conversation going. Like the excuse now, what I mentioned earlier about the contraceptives. You know, Obama backstepped and said, well, even though I gave everybody a one-year deadline to implement this, what I really meant is that I gave everybody a deadline so we can have a discussion and come up with compromises.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, interestingly enough, I think President Obama is learning a lot. I really believe that one of his biggest problems when he first got in there is he had no idea what he was doing. He had no idea how to do it, and he was listening to the wrong people. And he's wising up a little and finding out that there are some other opinions than just these people that he was listening to. And so I think at this particular point, to be honest with you, I'm that if he were left in there a couple more years, he might actually come around and do some smart things. But then he might actually not, too. So I would like to have him pulled out of there and put somebody else in. As to who we put in is another story entirely. I'm getting a little worried that Newt Gingrich is going to be out of the running. Santorum, who is running at this particular point, I'm not too upset with him. He's pretty smart and pretty sharp, and I think he could do the job. Mitt Romney, I have a little worry about Mitt Romney, because here's a man who has so much money and doesn't understand people who don't have the money. His way of life is just not at all like real people live in any way, shape, or form. I mean, it's just kind of scary when, you know, everything you have is so much more. I mean, I get upset. He talked about he's got money in the Cayman Islands and places like that. Well, let's face it, why have you done that? If you've got that much money in bank, that's fine. I don't mind you having money. That's not the problem. Let's keep it in the United States. Let's keep that money circulating right here. Let's keep it making money here. Let's put people to work in the United States with that money. Even if it's nothing more than to put it in a bank and let the bank loan it out. Let's let an American bank loan it out, not a foreign bank loan it out.
Okay, let me jump in here real quick because we're running down the last couple minutes. Section 6 of the Constitution, the senators and representatives shall receive the compensation for their service to be ascertained by law and paid out of the Treasury of the United States. They shall in all cases, except treason, felony, or breach of peace, be privileged from arrest during their attendance at session of their respective houses.
That's interesting.
Section 6 of the Constitution.
Is that right? Huh.
So there's the answer to the question right there about what gives them the right to be above the law. Well, there you go.
Well, that's getting a little scary. Huh. That's surprising to me. Maybe we do need to change the Constitution. Maybe we do need to look into something. But again, to putting the term limits would at least limit to how long they could do that. And how long you could be exempt from the laws.
Well, and that's sometimes, you know, like they say, you need to update it, because I'm sure that when the founding fathers put everything in place, they knew about the corruption because based on their experience, but they probably didn't anticipate that things would get as bad as they are.
Well, again, even that statement in the Constitution could be fine as long as we just didn't leave them in there for life so they could make an entire life career on Bill Gates and the rest of us.
That's true. Anyways, we're out of time. Thanks for tuning in. And again, send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com, and we'll be back again next Monday, 1 p.m. Pacific time. Good day.
If you like today's show, please let us know by visiting us on Facebook and clicking on the like button. You can also get show updates on Twitter and on our website at www.krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.